Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
So hello everyone and welcome back to Wizard of Ecom. Today we have an awesome guest, Amy Weiss. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for accepting. So Amy, the reason I especially wanted to have you on the show is I was thinking of who is a super successful businesswoman who is also an inventor and a mompreneur and also a cat parent. And you're the first one coming to mind. So it was like amazing to have you on the show. Amy, also something that I've seen, I noticed you're everywhere, as I was saying, right? You're also a founder of Amazing at Home. You do coaching, mastermind courses. You offer a ton of services. You have your own podcast, which also is super time consuming and amazing. You were also a speaker recently at Branded by Women. And you also presented at our Wizards of Amazon meetup last year, if I recall that correctly. But how would you present yourself in three words?
In three words?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Well, I think it would have to be my mantra, which is only three words. And my mantra is enjoy the journey. And that's the thing is no matter what I'm doing, whether it's podcasting or coaching or working on my private label or developing a product, like to me, the most important thing is that we get this one life and tomorrow isn't promised. So it's so important to enjoy the journey.
That's amazing. You just nailed it. It was like, what, three words? And she just like that. And she knew what to respond. So that's, yeah, that's amazing. I was thinking like, I'm coming from a mindset or from a world where women are seen like, homestay moms, basically. And, you know, I'm the first generation actually in our family who's like an entrepreneur, you know, my dad and also my sister, they were like doing their own thing, but they weren't really like building up business. And I wanted to ask you, what is your perspective? How is it different to be a women entrepreneur versus a mompreneur? And how do you deal with this usually?
Well, I think for me, I had a little bit more practice, if you will, because you're right. I mean, we moms are held to an unreasonable standard as far as, you know, we need to be the mom, we need to be the wife, we need to be the caregiver. And then also a lot of us are out there chasing careers. We're chasing, we have our own dreams as well, the things that we want to do. And for me, you know, my background, I spent almost 20 years in the Air Force, in the United States Air Force. And I had many deployments where I was away from my children and away from them when they were very, very young. And that is something that is not easy for anyone to do. You know, it is something that you kind of have to build up your mindset around and know that I learned through that experience that the most important things that we can give our children is love. And it's not about being there every second of the day. It's not about, you know, you being the perfect chef or being the perfect wife or taking care of all those things. The most important thing that your children need is love. And it's, you can give yourself permission to follow your dreams because you're setting an incredible example for your kids. And I'll never forget, you know, when we took the leap to become full-time entrepreneurs. So I left my job. I sat my kids down because I didn't know you know, if we were going to be able to afford to keep them in gymnastics and keep them in karate and all the things that they were doing, you know. And I had a very high paying job before I left. And I thought, you know, I just don't know. I don't know what I don't know. And I don't know if this is going to work out. So I sat my kids down and I said, hey, I don't know if you're going to be able to stay in gymnastics. I don't know if you're going to be able to stay in karate. Like, we might have to take that out for a little while and, you know, pull together as a family. And my kids, both of them, were fully supportive and said, it's okay, mom. Like, we're doing this. And they were all, you know, the whole journey of us bringing this product to market, every time we would go to the store, we would look at the shelves in the pet aisle and be like, oh, one day we're going to be here, you know. And it was kind of a family journey. And, you know, now I'll never forget, I'm so busy now, you know, like you said, I'm everywhere. And my kids are right outside the door here. And you know, they go to school from home. And the other day, I remember I plopped into my daughter's bed. They sleep together. They're like best friends. I have an 11 and a 13 year old. And I plopped into bed with them at like 10 o'clock at night. And I just kind of was like, oh, I haven't seen you guys all day long. Like, I just want to hang out with you for a minute and see how you're doing. And I just had a really long day, you know. And my daughters were like, we saw you today, mom. You know, because I'm there. I'm at home now. You know, I'm able to be with them every day. And they both work in our businesses. They both work an hour a day in the business and they do all sorts of things. So I think that being a mompreneur is all about remembering that your kids just need love and remembering that you're never going to be perfect, but if you love your kids and you involve them in your life, it's just going to be an incredible journey. And so, you know, that's what it's all about. It's about setting that example and enjoying the steps that you're taking along the way and involving your family and doing it for those reasons, you know, because when I first left my job and was so scared that I might not be able to afford these things, you know, and all of that, I of course had all of those fears, but now I just took my kids to China with me. They got to go, they got to sled down the Great Wall. They got to play with pandas in Chengdu. They got to walk through the Canton Fair. Like, I dreamed of things like that. I never thought I would make it to China in my lifetime. And my kids got to do it with me. And now they get to go on business trips with me and they get to do all of the things. And it's so cool to be on this journey together and kind of define life and live life on your terms. So no matter what, no matter how hard you're working, no matter how in the weeds you are right now trying to build your business, I just want to encourage you that it's so worth it and you can totally do it.
That's amazing. And you were just sharing germs and like everything was super, was amazing, you know. And also, like, I had a few questions on my list. I'm still a newbie at interviewing people, but it was amazing. And you touched point and everything. Most important, like a few follow-up questions. How do you show them love, or how do you find out what love means for them?
That is a good question. I think just letting them know that they matter and that, you know, you're proud of them. And, you know, your kids, I think they're their own people. Like, when they're little, you kind of like, oh, I made this little being, and, you know, and you kind of imagine what they're going to be like. And before you know it, you realize that they really are their own people. And being a mom of girls is tough because girls have this, from a very young age, they feel the need to grow up very fast. It's just like built in, I think, to our DNA or something. But and girls and moms often will fight, you know, because of this need for them to be grown and do things on their own. And I'll never forget, I read this book called Untangled, and it's all about raising girls and how girls have this need to grow up really fast, and they have this need to feel like, you know, they're in charge. And so I know for me, I know all of us women sometimes struggle when we're raising girls, but for me, the biggest key to success in showing my daughters love and in connecting with them without getting that defensive, you know, I'm grown, you can't tell me anything kind of thing. It was just to connect with them in that way and say like, hey, how are you feeling about this? And what do you think the solution to this is? And then also I think one exercise that that our pastor actually gave us was to write down all the things that we love about them and give it to them. Mm-hmm. And so my husband and I each created like a little poster for each of their rooms. And we just like, we love you because, you know, like you're a great artist or the way you love other people. And we sat them down and we read everything to them that, you know, all these reasons that we love them and we think they're great people. And, you know, they just glow when they know how much you love them and how much you think of them.
That's amazing. At some point you were also mentioning they are working in your business. So here a follow-up, like how, like that's amazing. But for example, in my view, that couldn't even exist. So how would you teach your kids to be entrepreneurial? How to involve them in your business? How did you make them work in your business in this way?
You know, I get this question all the time because a lot of people are like, oh, I really want my kids to be entrepreneurs. You know, I want them to make something of their own. And my kids, they don't want anything to, you know, they want to kind of do their own thing. And mm-hmm. they don't want to be like forced into like a print on demand business or like doing something e-commerce like. For us, we went about it a different way. They actually are on the payroll in our businesses. So like they actually clock in and clock out and they each work 1 hour each day, 4 days a week. So just 4 hours a week, 1 hour a day. And we just worked it into their normal schedule. So we said, okay, you're going to school from this time to this time. You're taking, you know, piano lessons on these days and you're doing this and this and 4 days a week, 1 hour a day at, you know, so one of them works from 2 to 3 o'clock and one of them works from 3 to 4 o'clock. And they're expected to show up with a positive attitude, ready to learn.
I love it.
Yeah. And they don't, it's not a choice. It's not like, oh, you know, we want you to start this business or come learn this thing, because they don't want to do that. They want to learn what they want to learn. They want to express themselves in their own way. And, you know, I'll never forget, my mom always wanted me, I wanted to play an instrument and my mom always wanted to play the flute. And mm-hmm. she brought home a flute for me and we were very poor. And so I felt forced into playing the flute, even though that was the farthest from the instrument I wanted to play. And I ended up having to play the flute for years. And I always kind of held a, you know, a little bit of a, yeah, just, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel really good about that because it wasn't what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So with my kids, it's more about like, hey, you're helping us out in the business and you're learning skills at the same time. And you're, you know, you always say that school doesn't teach you anything that you can use in real life. So this is the school of mom and dad and of business. And, you know, you're going to show up, you're going to clock in, you're going to show up on time and you're going to show up with a positive attitude and you're going to learn some things and you might not always like them. And the thing is, both of my daughters have had to learn things the hard way. Like they didn't read instructions. I'll send them an email and say, hey, I need you to do this, right? Watch this Loom video and do this, right?
And I love it. Loom video already. Okay. Yes, that's amazing.
Exactly. And, awesome. And they'll skip the video sometimes. Mm-hmm. They'll skip it and just like, oh yeah, I did that. And they'll do it completely wrong. And it's like, okay, so now this is what would happen if you had a real job, which you do, you're on my payroll. I pay you every week, right? You have to do it again and you're not going to get paid for it. And that's, you know, how it works. So anyway, that doesn't happen very often. My daughters are amazing employees. They're very respectful. They're awesome at what they do. And they're like, my 11-year-old is really good with Pinterest. She's really good at creating graphics. She knows how to read analytics. She's really into it. And then my 13-year-old, she's really good with WordPress. She's able to build web pages for me and graphics. And they both know how to do video editing. They both know how to create YouTube thumbnails. They both know how to do basic SEO. So like how to write titles, how to research what titles and descriptions. But at 11 and 13 years old, they're going to have incredible resumes. Like right now they have incredible resumes that people would, you know, be excited to hire for. So I'm so excited for them in whatever they choose to do, whether it's e-commerce or whatever, you know, if they want to be veterinarians or doctors or whatever, I don't care. I just care that they do it well.
Yeah, I think that's a blessing right there, as you were saying, because at this point in their life, they might not know if they want their own business or want to work for someone, but at least now they know both sides and they know how to be very proficient in both sides, which is like amazing, because you were saying like 11 and 13 years old, like, wow, you know, I just barely started and it's like 30 plus, you know, and it's like, they have a huge advantage. They have a huge advantage. It's like, that's amazing. At some point, you were also mentioning your pastor. I don't want to make this about religion, right? But I believe that spirituality or faith or belief has a lot to do with showing who you are inside. It shows outside, right? So how did you use spirituality, or how did that help you during this journey?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that question. And I agree too. You know, I'm not one to push religion on someone or anything like that, but it is an important part of my life. And, you know, I'm a Christian and for me, this whole journey has been a huge leap of faith. And it was really scary for me because I have always worked for someone else. And I've been a really good student and I've been a really hard worker and I've always, you know, gotten the awards and climbed the ladders and done all the things. But when you go it alone, it is so scary, especially if you hold yourself to a really high standard, because the thought of failure is absolutely terrifying to some. It was totally terrifying to me. I've never failed at anything. I've always overachieved. I've gotten every award in every military tech school. I've gotten, you know, cum laude and all my degrees and, you know, everything. And it was scary to take this leap and think, oh my gosh, you know, here, am I putting my family in danger? Am I making the right decision? So for me, this has been hugely spiritual. And I have leaned on my faith to know that God will provide and know that I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And the plan for me is good. And, you know, and ultimately that I can do it, and that, you know, that I'm loved, and that no matter what, that, I don't need to be afraid, you know, that I have the power that I need to do everything that is here in this life. And that I'm doing my purpose is in this life. So yeah, it's been a huge part for me. And it's, I can't believe how much I've been blessed. Like since I took this very spiritual leap, you know, into entrepreneurship, I cannot believe the overwhelming blessings. And it's really crazy because, you know, the plan for you is always bigger than you can possibly imagine. And if you can step into even part of that greatness, it's just like the doors just start to open and it's just the coolest thing ever. And, you know, when you finally break through that initial limiting barrier that you give yourself, so many of us give ourselves like a wall, you know, and we go, because I'm afraid that if I jump past that wall, then that's not going to work out, you know? And so we just keep limiting ourselves. And so when you're able to push through that fear, whatever forces you use to push through that fear and believe in yourself, and believe that there is a greater plan and a greater destiny for you, you know, use that because it's really, really powerful.
And you're not alone. I think that's the most important thing, because most of the time we are just like fighting through it. And it's like, why am I doing, or for who, or like, you know? And it's like, as you are saying, like knowing exactly that someone else is watching out for you and they want the best things for you, you know, that's like, I think, amazing. So yeah, I totally agree with that. Also, Liran, as well as was mentioning, I think two two episodes ago, he was also into, yet again, not to make this about religion, but he was also mentioning that when he grew up and it was Kabbalah and it was like this really like set of rules and everything, and how like everything just fell apart and he didn't use those anymore, you know? And afterwards, like at this age, you know, 30, 40, I don't know how old he is now, you know? And he restarted those things and how much he was helped, like in rituals and everything, you know? And here, a follow-up question to you, like what rituals did you took from your spiritual that you're still applying, okay, besides praying, I guess. But what are the things that are still like, and anyone could use, even if you are not spiritual, let's say?
Well, I think it's important to focus on the positive. Think on things that are positive. Don't have negative thoughts. If you're always telling yourself, I'm not creative and I can't do that, then your brain is one of the most powerful, amazing things there is. And it believes whatever you tell it. And so it's really important that you think on things that are positive. That's just positive thoughts. The second thing is not judging your success based on someone else's measure. Your success should be based on your own measure. You need to set your goals and track your own success. People always ask me, you know, how do you, gosh, you're everywhere. You get so much stuff done. Like, how do you do all this stuff? How do you, you know? And it's like, well, I set my goals and I go after my goals. I'm not worried about what everybody else is doing. My definition of success is what I set for myself. So that is really, really important, is to not worry about what everybody else is doing and don't measure your success off somebody else's goals. It's just a road to nowhere. And then make sure that you think positively, starting your day. Like I start my day with prayer and with devotion and with meditation and, you know, all of those things. But really being, even with gratitude, you know, thinking of all the ways that you are blessed, all the ways, the things that you can be grateful for, how far you have come. You know, in our mastermind group, we have a monthly planning session. I'm big into planning. I did planning in the military, so I incorporate that into every area of my business. And I really help other entrepreneurs like get into planning, because when you can see where you're going, you have steps to get there. When you don't know where you're going and you don't set goals for yourself or for your business, you kind of feel like you're just spinning your wheels every day and you're not sure what to prioritize and what to work on. So every month in our mastermind group, we have a monthly group planning session. We actually go through the process of planning and I give people time. I'm like, okay, set your objectives. Let's set our tasks for the month. Let's see what we're working on. Let's put our deadlines on it. And it really helps me because I'm taking the time to do it, and it helps, you know, our members. But having those goals and really taking the time to think about what it is that you want, having a strong why is so, so important. But yeah, just taking the time to take care of yourself, also schedule in fun. A lot of people, they just grind and grind and grind. Every other Friday, I schedule in time, me time, and I'll go take a spa day or, you know, do something like that. And that doesn't mean that, you know, a lot of people are like, Amy, there's no time for that. Like, I could never do that. I'm working full time. I'm doing this and that. Well, I actually schedule it in. So that week, I might be working my butt off. I might have an 18-hour day one day to be able to take that time. And that's okay. But if I schedule it in, then I know what to do up to that so that I can have that time. And I think that it's so important.
That's so cool that you're saying, the way I see that you're saying that you're scheduling in time while still being creative. How do you do that? Because it's like, it seems like to be two opposite directions, like very, very strict with yourself and very, no, I'm just going to have fun and I'm going to be creative. So how do you tackle that?
I think the big thing is giving yourself time to be creative, because if you're always in the grind and you never take the time to just put down the phone and put down, you know, like people's best thoughts come to them when they're in the shower. It's because they can't look at the phone shower. It's, you know, that's the thing is, you know, when you actually take the time to, and what I love to do on my like quiet days, or once a quarter, we also take like a trip to a beach or somewhere nice, you know, And I take time to I'll read books during that time. I'll just, you know, it's like important to spend time with yourself, spend quiet time, you know, it grows you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it is just about having both sides, like knowing when. And for me, that's kind of schedule chunking. So I'm most productive in the morning, right? As far as like quick kill tasks, I do those in the morning and I chunk that time out. And then, you know, in the afternoons, I'm usually more tired and I'm not as focused. Mm-hmm. So like my focus, so I turn that around, like first thing in the morning, I'll do quick kills and then I'll get into focus time around like 10 a.m. to like noon. And then in the afternoon is when I'll do a few smaller focus tasks that don't take so many hours. But I kind of know when my brain works in different ways, right? And so
How did you because that's also I think it's a science, knowing you exactly. How did you achieve that? Or,
well, the thing that you can do is you can track your time. You can see, if you write down a diary of everything that you do in a day and you do that for a week, mm-hmm. you're going to learn what kind of habits you have and things that you shouldn't, you know, be necessarily wasting your time on, things that you enjoy to do, you know, and you're going to be able to kind of set that up. But it's not perfect. It's something that I still work on to this day. You know, it's like, I try, for me, it's important to have weekends off. I don't like to work on the weekends. You know, I like to try to keep business hours as much as possible because we entrepreneurs, if it's up to us, we'll work 24/7 because we love what we do, right? Yes. We're passionate about our businesses, but we have family and we have other things that are important to us. So I think it's about knowing what's important to you and kind of setting some of your own boundaries and then going, okay. So for example, I don't coach every day of the week. Mm-hmm. Coaching is hard as far as you're helping people with their toughest problems. And, you know, if I did that all day, every day, it would really, really take a toll on me. So I only do it. And it's not that I don't enjoy it. It's just that I put my time and my energy and my effort. If you ever have a coaching call with me, I am giving you everything I got. So it's, you know, it's important to me. Your success is important to me. And so I really take that seriously. And so I chunk out time every week and I only coach on Mondays and Tuesdays. And so it's and then Wednesday through Friday, I have other things that I do. And then every weekend I try to make sure that I'm chunking my tasks and my schedule so that I can enjoy that time with my family on weekends. So I think it's just about knowing what your priorities are and what you want your life to be, and then setting up those goals and making it happen and actually holding yourself accountable to that. And a lot of people don't use any kind of calendar tools or anything like that. And those are usually the people that are late to meetings and, you know, don't necessarily keep promises to themselves. And the thing is, you can break promises to yourself, but it's a disappointing thing. So, you know, if you can really set up the things that are important to you and, you know, come up with ways where you can keep those promises to yourself, it's going to be a really good way to enjoy the journey.
You are a wealth of wisdom. Just talk. Do not stop. You were touching about a few words about military. So I think that's also super important. And how did that help you? Like you were saying that you're integrated that also in your business, but I think also it's a mindset thing, right? And you were saying 20 years, that's a lifetime or it's a lot, you know? And how did that help you? How was that integrated to the most efficient way in whatever you do?
Well, I think the big thing, well, so many ways, you know, number one, I've lived all over the world and seen many different cultures, and that's huge. You know, getting out of your corner of the world is important in understanding that there is a big world out there and there's a lot of different kinds of people and, you know, it's really cool. So I think traveling was the first thing that the military really gave me. Secondly, the ability to work on a team and think about something that's bigger than yourself. You know, I don't want this to get political, but the one thing that, you know, that I realized with Donald Trump being president, was that, and, you know, I'm a Republican, so, you know, but I'm not a hugely political person either, but The one thing that I realized is that presidents who have served in the military, they know, they learned the core important ability to think about things that are bigger than themselves, right? And you have to, it's like for us in the military, no matter whether we like the president or agree with their, you know, rules or not, it doesn't matter. We're there to serve because there's something bigger than ourselves, right? So I just think like the act of service and really thinking about the bigger picture, because sometimes we would be sent on missions that we didn't understand or agree with. And it's sometimes like that blind faith, and you have to go, well, you know, there must be a reason, and I have to trust that, you know, that I'm doing this for the right reasons, right? So I think just that ability to see things from a bigger picture perspective than just what might be affecting you directly right then and there, you know, and often when I would be in those situations in the military where I would be sent somewhere for a mission that I didn't really understand, I later would understand the bigger picture and how I played a part in that, and the reason why our country might have done that. And, you know, Saddam Hussein is a great example. Saddam Hussein was a really kind of dangerous dictator, right? And we actually trained him. Our military forces actually trained him, and we kept him in power for a long time. And the reason we could have taken Saddam Hussein out many years before we did, you know, but the reason that we did that is because if not him, the alternatives could have been worse and there could have been a lot more damage done. So at least in us being able to train him and have a relationship with him, we were able to keep more people safe than the alternative. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is about, you know, it's an ugly situation, but it is about thinking about, you know, the bigger picture. And so anyway, that, you know, that was a big thing that I learned from being in the military. The other big thing that I learned, and this was huge, and I didn't realize it until I became an entrepreneur and started having conversations with others who hadn't served, is that I learned how to execute without thinking too much about it, right? Mm-hmm. When you go through military training, everything is set up to be impossible on purpose. You're set up to consistently fail. You keep failing over and over again. You get yelled at. You just keep failing. You keep ending up on your face, you know, doing push-ups, and you're just like, why can't I do anything right? And it just breaks you down to the point where you realize like, okay, I can fail and failure's okay. And that is the biggest thing is you realize in the military that failure is a stepping stone. You're like, yep, I'm going to fail again. It's okay. I'm still going to do it. Yep. Literally, you know, we had to be down, like we were like on the third floor when I was in boot camp, and I was the guy down there. So I was like the person holding the flag that had to be in the front of the formation. And they would play Reveille, which is like a 15-second song. And we had to be down all the flights of stairs and standing in formation in 15 seconds. And this was like from bed. So you had to like get up, make your bed perfectly, you know, where you could flick a quarter off of it and be down the stairs in 15 seconds. So it's impossible. It was impossible. But we were still tried to do it every single day. It was like ingrained in us, right? Because it was taught to us that, oh, it's so important. You will do this, you know? And so I think the biggest thing was just learning to fail and fail fast and continue. And that is a huge skill. And not think too much about it and just go, you know? And then the other thing is, the last thing is like, military training is really, really difficult. And they give you a ton of information that you have to memorize. And you forget most of it because it's just so much information. And that's the way their schools are designed. But you learn later that your brain has this incredible ability to remember certain things at the time when it's needed. So the other thing that I learned in the military was that it's okay if I don't absorb every single word of every piece of information. My brain is incredible and it will be able to pull out that information and use it later. So I would say that those were the four key things that I took from the military.
I love that you also like point one, point two, point three, point, like four points, like everything very, very organized. And I know, I don't know, maybe now that you look back, but the way that you structured everything and like were seeing everything, it's like, it makes sense now. Like everything is connected, you know, it's like, it's not different. Spirituality and also entrepreneurship and also military, they are the same thing, right? They are like very, very similar. And I love that how you made the connection, maybe probably not consciously, you didn't make the connection, but now you see it and it's actually, it's the same thing. So I achieved there something, I can achieve here as well something. So I love how you put it. And it's like amazing. It's funny that when you see the connections, right? And you are maybe not even aware of it. So that's amazing. What is your favorite book and why? It can be like many books as well.
Oh, my favorite book.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Well, oh, there are so many. There are so many books. Okay, so some of my favorites. All Rich Dad, Poor Dad was such an important book for me. I needed to understand, I needed to let go of the job.
Okay.
I needed to let go to know that it's not so important that I need to climb the career ladder. It's not so important that I need to have succeed in someone else's definition of success, which for me was the career ladder, right? I needed that permission. And for me, Rich Dad, Poor Dad gave me that permission to not be the career woman and not, you know, need to do all of those things, right? And so I loved that book. I thought it was really good. And I read also The Cash Flow Quadrant. And it was, you know, such a good book in terms of understanding like, hey, I'm never going to get out of this rat race until I build assets. And that's where you get from self-employed to being a business owner and removing yourself from the business. So I think like those two books were just so core in becoming a business owner and growing as a business owner. The Lean Startup by Eric Ries, that really helped me in understanding not only product development, but how to take that minimum viable product and move forward. Mm-hmm. Sometimes as inventors, we like to overdevelop things and spend a lot of time on one thing. And it's like, get that MVP to market and get it moving. And that's what I loved about the Lean Startup. Clockwork by Mike Michalowicz. I mean, I've read all of Mike's books almost, I think, now. He's a really incredible author, and you know, his mission to end entrepreneurial poverty is incredible. And I think that that book has just been, it's been integral to me understand, to me hiring my first people, building my first teams, taking, being able to leave my business for a month at a time and be able to come back and still find it running and, you know, very profitable and doing what it needs to do. So that Clockwork was just an incredible book for me. And right now I'm reading The E-Myth Revisited, and it's so good for mindset and understanding how to get yourself out of the technician role of just like creating a job for yourself and more into that business owner and entrepreneurial mind, not entrepreneurial mindset, but the mindset of a business owner and where you need to be. You need to take yourself out of that technician role and into that ownership role. I think that is something that we continuously struggle with as we move through scaling our businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to six figures and then you're like, okay, what does seven figures even look like? What kind of team do I need for that? You know, and then you get to seven figures and you're like, okay, I have a small team, but I need like departments now to get to eight figures. And I don't even know what that looks like. And I've never even built anything like that before. And I think the E-Myth Revisited really helps you kind of focus on that. So I would say that those core books are really great. And of course, Think and Grow Rich was a good one. And then Richest Man in Babylon. Just financial stuff, I think, is so important as entrepreneurs because we're building stuff and we need to be able to use that money and the assets that we get and the income that we get as we're building our businesses and continue to grow.
Yeah, I agree totally. One more, the last question. What is the latest purchase that you had made like $50 or less that was a really good investment?
Oh my gosh. The last purchase that I've made, $50 or less, that was a really good investment. Oh, Oh, I hired someone to do a product video for me on Fiverr. Oh, it only cost me $40, and that was a really good investment because it leads to more sales. So yeah, that would be a good one as far as the business goes. And personal, I don't, I buy a lot of my clients' products just because, you know, I love to support them. And so, you know, those are always good investments. And yeah, I'm not a things person. I'm not really things are not really that important to me. I'm just not like a very, I'm not a very, good consumer, I guess you could say. I spend my money on experiences and, travel and building assets. So, and business. So
that could be though. Those are like as well eligible. So it's no problem. Yeah, that's amazing. Amy, thank you so much for your time. And the way that you have amazing place right behind of you, it makes me say amazing, amazing, amazing so many times. I'm just going to listen to this recording and probably like 50 times I said amazing. What's the best way to get a hold of you for someone who just want to, I don't know, say hi or know more about your services?
Yeah. Well, you guys can always visit me at amazingathome.com. And I always give this offer to, and every podcast that I do, and I love to hear from you guys. If you ever want to know how I would improve your sales or improve your listing, you can go to amazingathome.com. And underneath the services menu is a little thing that says free listing review. And you can click on there. And you can submit your listing to me and I will actually record a video of me going through your listing and, you know, you can tell me what kind of things you're struggling with. And I just love to do that. I'm a total nerd about those things. So, you know, I'll throw people's listings into my tools and be like, oh, you're missing these keywords. And oh, I can't find you in this search, or you have the wrong main keyword, or, you know, this is why your PPC isn't working. So, you know, I always offer that to everyone because I love it, you know, and if I can help you in any way. So amazingathome.com. And then also we have an incredible Facebook group. It was voted second in the world in seller poll, and it's tiny. It's tiny. We vet people, you know, we don't let mean people in. So if you're mean, just don't even think about it.
But are you mean? Go up.
Exactly. We just block you immediately. But yeah, it's a small group of people, but we are very like, you know, good about just being there for each other. And so, yeah, that's just called Amazing at Home too. So either way, you can find me. I'm around.
Awesome. Sounds amazing. Thank you once again for your time and for all the valuable information that you shared. Much love to you. And thank you once again for being on the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having
me. Thank you. Bye.
It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.